Reward the good as much as you'd want to punish the bad. So really look for things where the kids have done well and celebrate them publicly too. Do send letters home and communicate to parents about how you sense the kids are getting on. Sometimes the kids will go home and they'll say, did you have a nice time at such and such? And what did you do? Nothing. So how do we expect the parents to know if we don't tell them? So we can get cross that we don't get any celebration or any thanks, or we can show them what they can celebrate, and then they might want to thank us. They might not, but we're not holding out for it, are we? Because we're not doing it for that. But grace is not the same as stupidity. Always remember to challenge the behaviour, not the person. When you do that, it makes others feel ... rather than you are always, because that puts an identity on them, doesn't it? Something that we do sort of every couple of years, particularly if we've got the same kids staying, is to write their own rules so that they'll keep their own rules because they made them. And then what should be the punishment if people break them? And, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, they can't join in a game or la la la. And again, keep in contact with parents. So if they have had 3 warnings and they're out, we need to tell the parents that as well, so they don't keep bringing them. The danger with that, I think, just to be very honest, is with the 3 strikes and you're out, is that it could make them sending them back to church seem like a punishment. if it's like a kids group on a Sunday morning, like a Sunday school or something. So just watch that they don't start thinking that. If you're sending them back, it's sometimes better to say next time you can't come rather than we're sending you back, as if that's the punishment. So that's number 1. I appreciate a safe place. Number 2, your relationship with me is more important to me than the program. So in years to come, I'm sure you'll think about this. You don't really remember the things that people did with you, but you do remember the people. Like, I have really clear memories of what someone was like. I can't tell you all the activities. I was talking to someone earlier who's doing Girls Brigade, and I've got brilliant memories from Girls Brigade. Haven't got a clue what specific activities we did, but I can remember my leaders and the heart that they had and how they always used to, like, kneel down and didn't tower over me or, you know, got alongside us girls, and it was great. And so their relationship was really important to me. And it was more important than the program. So sometimes we have to just remember that when we're thinking, come on, get with the program. Maybe we need to just remember that it's about remembering them and taking care of them and really listening to them and feeding back on what they shared with us the week before. Oh, you were nervous about that. How did it go? Just shows care, doesn't it? Even if it means we push something back 5 minutes. And number 3, please don't judge me. Again, this is a paraphrase, but, you know, we don't need to be like a torch shining a light into all their dark secrets and showing them everything from their week that they did wrong and everything from last week that they did wrong. Like, what we need to do is we need to be a bit like a lighthouse so that we're stable and something that they can aim for when their life gets a bit stormy. Obviously, as I've said before, don't be afraid to challenge, you know, repeating patterns of behaviour, but just be careful not to label them and judge them, because if schools are anything like I think they are, sometimes they get lots of labels, don't they? And so they don't need them from our groups as well. Number 4, I learn from being involved. I love that Jesus gave 12 people and then 72 people to do a job and to have an experience, that they would have learned loads during that time, and actually they still seemed to not really understand a single word that Jesus said. So give kids a chance to be involved. You know, I remember we used to be getting onto the, telling the Bible story, and we'd think, right, okay, I'm going to tell the story to the children, and I'd get really annoyed when they'd be like, miss, I got a rabbit this week. Or like, miss, my mum said the word bottom earlier. My brother has got diarrhea. In the middle of, you know, you're trying to make a really profound point. And then Jesus raised the dead. My sister really smells. Thank you, Charlie. But they're bursting because they want to be involved. They want to have something to say and something to contribute. And so think about ways where we're not just, this is similar to the prayer thing, isn't it? Where we're not just doing it for them, but we're helping them join in and be involved, because we want their faith to be living and active. Not just our faith to be living and active, and we've done a really good show, and then they all can go home and tell their parents how amazing we were when we did our show, and we're all exhausted, and we sleep all Sunday afternoon because we're knackered. We don't need to be like that. Let's facilitate them being involved. Number five, I respect you. So they respect us as their leader. So we don't need to try to become someone we're not, or think that because we're not as young and cool as someone else, that they don't want to spend time with us. They're not always going to be young and cool. They're going to need a role model at every single stage of their life. And so, but they, what they do need for us to be is on top of our game with our relationship with God. And so if we take time to be alive in our relationship with God, we'll model that to them. And that's a kind of honesty thing really between us and Jesus, isn't it? Like, if they're really respecting us and wanting to be a bit like us, do we want them to get where we are? Number six, they are going to copy us. They're going to copy the way that we phrase things, they'll copy how we stand. When I used to do the kids' work, they used to copy how I dressed. I had a fluffy coat, and then 2 weeks later about five fluffy coats arrived. And they said, oh, they all wanted to be like Fluffy Helly. I was like, oh, scary having that much influence, isn't it, sometimes? So try not to encourage it too much, but definitely don't discourage it, because we are going to be role models to them, and we're more demonstrating. And when we do something or say something, it gives them permission to do the same. And so in our teams and in our groups, let's not get caught talking down about our churches or moaning about another team member or gossiping about something, because they'll really pick it up and they'll pass it on. And it's quite challenging, actually. Or, you know, our humour, if we've got, you know, banter that goes between the team, and they'll pick it up. And so, you know, let's think, oh, we're being permission giving for them to do this. Is this what we want to be like? I loved what Jimmy said about not just making it like a goldfish bowl, but, you know, really mucking in and joining in, and being the ones that do the actions the best, because we're wanting them to join in as well, aren't we? Here's another one, number seven. Allow me to be me. Just because I'm not telling you how I feel doesn't mean that I haven't got feelings. I might process or communicate differently to how you want me to. I've also written, because we had lots of kids who were kids of pastors, and so one of them said to me once, just because my parents are big in the church doesn't mean that I am or I want to be. Which sometimes you can put the expectations, if the parents are really good leaders, or you think they're really, you know, what we would say is really holy. You know, we think we've got an assumption that the kids are going to be like that. Well, they're just them, aren't they? you know, another way around. So let's be careful not to place our own opinions on them, but let's really be looking to God to say, what do you see in them? A bit like what we did earlier. What do you see in that child? And see them as an individual. Allow them to be themselves. And let's remember that some kids learn by seeing. Some kids learn better by hearing. Some kids learn better by doing. And so often when we're doing Christian activities, we just do one way. But actually, it's very interactive, isn't it? Also, there's so many different types of intelligence. Howard Gardner made a list of people. People intelligent, intrapersonal, which means they know, they're very self-aware themselves. They're very kinesthetic, some, so they're smart with their bodies, David Beckham. Like mathematically or logically intelligent, maybe musically intelligent, maybe nature intelligent, so they're really good at you know, creation and outside in nature. And some are linguistically intelligent, which means they're good with their words and they pick up things. And so there's lots of different types of being bright. And I think sometimes we don't always remember that, do we? Because we're looking for one way. Also, we've got to factor in the whole Myers-Briggsy, are they introvert or extroverted? So sometimes we're wanting to do a big, loud, noisy game with 40 children, and then we've got 30 introverts. Good luck. because they draw their energy from their own space. It's not that they're antisocial or quieter, it's just they get they're energized from a different point to an extrovert who's energized in a room full of people. When I'm really tired, I go to a party. Because I'm an extrovert, and that's what rejuvenates me. My boyfriend's an introvert, and when he's really tired, he goes to bed on his own and doesn't speak for 24 hours. And that's the way he gets his energy. And so, you know, we're just all different, aren't we? We're wired really differently. We learn differently. We have gifts in different areas, and so do the kids. So do the kids. And let's be looking for those things, because perhaps the school and the teachers haven't picked those things up. But maybe it's our opportunity to notice what's growing inside them that God might want to harness. The other thing that I was going to mention at this point in this kind of allowing them to be themselves is when you ask a question, try not to use a closed question if you really want to draw a response wider than yes or no. So often you'll just get yes or no answers, won't you? If you say, do you want a squash? No. Would you like a biscuit? Yes. Whereas, how do you take your tea requires more of a, you get more words out. Tell me about your weekend. Or how was school last week? Or did you go to school? That's yes. How was school draws out a longer response. And so just think carefully about how you're phrasing things with them, because you can draw out or describe how this was for you, and it just then gives them the freedom to decide how long they want to talk for. and you can just get a bit more out of them then. Number 8, stay committed to me in this work. Sometimes it feels like some of the team have used it as training for what they might seem as proper ministry. And actually, you know what? I've stayed in touch with loads of the guys who used to be in my kids' church, and it's been amazing to watch their lives. And normally now people, you know, you're passed on from year to year to a different teacher. Often people will go on the rotors like once a month and then they get tired and then they leave. And actually, let's really think we've been given as a gift from God into their lives to be a consistent figure for them. I'm not saying feel the guilt and stay if you're called to something different or you sense you're better off in a different area, but really show your commitment. Show them that you're committing to them as well as committing to where you're serving. Because you know what? It's not really about the church that you're working for or the Girls Brigade organisation. It's about the kids. And actually, they're going to grow up in 10 years' time. And they're going to remember how we gave our time. They might not say thank you now. My dad just had a cardiac arrest. And he's had so many letters from former pupils and people who he'd invested time with that at the time he just did not know that they even cared. And actually, they've all come out of the woodwork and said, oh, I remember how you taught me this, or you taught me how to read the Bible, or became a Christian because of you. I stopped smoking because you really encouraged me to look after my body a bit better. And, you know, he heard all these stories now, and I thought, thank you, Lord, that he hasn't had to be dead in order to, you know, that this is all not just said at his funeral, it's said now. And I want to encourage you, you know, you might never hear those encouragements, but they will be there. You know, and people value the work that you're doing and the hours that you've put in, and it won't be unnoticed, and it's definitely not unnoticed by God. So put yourself into it, throw yourself in, and ask God to give you strength, sticking strength, really. Number 9, seeing you grow and experience God in your life gives me hope. Seeing God grow you and how you experience God gives me hope. So it's good to be honest and share faith, isn't it? Share a bit of ourselves and be a bit vulnerable. You know, when we share, not, and I think kids can tell when we're just almost saying the party line. Let's be real in the faith that we have. You know, I really prayed about this week, or even ask the kids to pray about stuff with you. Because, you know, they'll love it. And then they'll be a co-laborer with Christ. And when you go back and you say, oh, you know, we prayed about this. It's been amazing. or like, oh, I'm just really struggling with this, or, you know, I've lost my mum, and then let them pray for you. Because they're great at that. And actually, it really means something to them. And it's real faith then, isn't it? It's not kind of just storybook. It's true. It's truth. Number 10, this made me laugh when they told me this one. Technology is really not that hard to use. And you know what I did? They did it. So they designed some flyers that were really good. And mine were rubbish for their small groups. We invented a group called Wild Warriors, Fizzy Friends, Dizzy Dance, and all these other things. And they designed the flyers. And they printed them, and they chopped them up, and they brought them in. So here you go, lazy kids' work. But they loved doing things like that, and some of the teenagers loved coming in and volunteering. You have got a whole mine of resources that you can use, and it's probably the kids that they're just so good. And so they'll probably know how to turn the projector on, even if you don't, or like do something on the iPad, because they're so tech-savvy nowadays. Don't feel the fear. Just say, oh, can you help me with this? Because actually it's so good to show them that we're learning too. Number 11, you can encourage me sometimes more than my parents do. This is a quote. My home isn't always very strong. You mean a lot. I'm sorry if I do strange things in my group. And where we got to with that was that, you know, they were basically crying out for attention. And they didn't quite know how to verbalise it. And so how many experiences and opportunities are there to just demonstrate genuine faith and to genuinely pray with people and talk about Jesus? I'm not sure nowadays parents quite know how to do it. You know, we don't have lots of families where all the kids are coming from Christian homes anymore. Long gone are the days, you know, where in the Bible they used to gather in the house and, you know, have communion all together, and, you know, the oldest son in the Jewish family would say, why are we having this meal? And he'd stand up and say it, and then everyone would tell the amazing story of God and how he saved the people and how this is the same faith, and they pass on. We don't do that anymore. We don't naturally pass on faith in families. So really, we're it. We're the family now. We are the family of God. And so that, you know, living together, worshipping together, they would eat together. This, now we're kind of modelling community in a different way, aren't we? So, you know, some of you, if you haven't got kids, you have actually. You've got lots and lots of kids. And you're their mum or their dad, really, spiritually speaking. And so we're adopting people like God's adopted us into his family. We're adopting into our own, really, aren't we? And taking them on and helping to lead them and show them. I remember someone said to me, I'm not surprised you didn't know how to pray when you came to this church, because my parents didn't ever used to pray or read their Bibles with me. They read a Bible to me, but I never saw them praying together about stuff, and I never saw them doing their personal Bible reading. They kind of kept it till we'd all went to bed, and they kind of assumed that we knew how to do it. And we didn't know how to do it. So I had to say to my mum, I don't know how to do this. How do you pray together out loud? Should couples pray together and all that stuff? Because I hadn't seen it. It wasn't that they weren't doing it. It was that as a child, I hadn't seen that modelled. And it just got me thinking, actually, lots of kids don't see that, do they? We can't assume anything. So we have a role as their leaders to really encourage in a way that parents can't. And often you find, you know, parents see one side of the child and we see a completely different side, and it's still the same child and you can put the picture together, but actually you do get to feel different parts of their lives, don't they? And they share different stuff with different people, and that's fine. It's a real gift. So that's number 11. Last one, it's similar to one at the beginning really, but it's, I get jealous easy, be fair always. And it's just having an eye, isn't it? Having an eye. And thinking, do I always get one child to do something? Just be aware that there might be others itching. So those are the things. Anyone got any questions from today, this afternoon?